I'm glad that I can stand before you with the Word of God and tell you what's on my heart and mind. Been a Christian for a long time, been in the ministry a long time, and never in my lifetime have I lived in a time like we're living now. These are unusual times. You'll have to admit that they're unusual. They really are. I don't know, it's become fashionable to kill the babies. I think that's a cardinal sin of America. Killing the babies. What right does man have to do with what God creates?
Exactly.
You know, He creates life. And one of these days we're all going to have to stand before Him. I'd hate to think that I have to carry all my sins to the judgment bar, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I don't have to carry them there. All of my sins are gone.
Amen.
He bore them in His own body on the tree, and He promised in His word that He cast my sins behind His back. And since God never looks back, He never sees my sins.
That's right.
He's cleared the slate for me. I'm getting ready to meet Him. I'm looking forward to meeting Him. It won't be long until I'm in His presence. I have a text, a wonderful text in the Bible that I love, that I quote to myself all the time. It's found in the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 13. That's what I'm looking for. And I hope you're looking for this too in your life. Because I believe we're living in the end of this age as we know it. I think that when Jesus came, He came to the Jews and they rejected Him. What a price they paid.
Oh,
all of these years.
Yes.
They're still paying a price. They rejected Him. They said, "We will not have this man rule over us." That's what they said about Jesus. And He said, "I'm turning away." You remember the time He was teaching them and they sinned against the Holy Spirit. You know, they lied to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says He went out of the house. He went out of the house, which is symbolic. Jesus never took a step in His life that wasn't symbolic for you and me.
Amen.
There's a lesson for us in everything He did. And He went out and sat by the seaside. And there was gathered to Him all kinds of people. And He began to preach them repentance like we just discussed here today. Repentance is an important word.
Amen.
Isn't it? And it's just not preached anymore. Somebody said that we were living in a time of easy believism. But sinners need broken hearts.
Amen.
The revival meeting's coming up here in this church right soon, and I asked the Lord this morning when I had my devotions this morning, not when Bobby and me met for prayer, but early this morning, about 3 o'clock this morning, I guess it was, I asked the Lord to come down on this street, this church is on here, and go through every family here and break old hard sinners' hearts.
Amen.
You know, a broken and a contrite heart, God does not despise.
Right.
He likes a broken heart. If you have a broken heart, you're blessed.
Amen.
Have a broken heart.
Yes, sir.
Most people have their conscience seared without iron, I think.
That's right.
Yes, amen. I want to read this text to you. I don't know how long I'll preach. I wear out pretty quick anymore. But I'm looking here at verse number 13. This is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that blessed hope. The hope is that my Savior is coming for me. Whether you're hoping He's come for you or not, but I'll be glad whenever I hear that beautiful voice emanating the portals of glory that He's coming for His own. I don't have to ask Brother Brent Secrets back there if that's the Savior or not. I'll know His voice when I hear it. comes in the clouds of heaven, claiming, I'm looking for that, I have that blessed hope, the coming of Jesus Christ. He'll solve the problems. I do. I believe in the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
I believe in the premillennial reign of Christ. Amen. You may not. You don't have to agree with me. I won't get mad at you if you don't agree with me at all. I've been disagreed with all my life in the ministry, but I'm looking for that blessed hope.
Yeah.
And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to tell you why that's my blessed hope. Why the Lord ever chose to save me is the capital mystery of my life.
That's right.
I don't understand His love for me. But He didn't just begin to love me when He called me. He loved me a long time before I was ever born here.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you believe it or not, but I think that Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20 is pretty true. When the eternal council was set, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit discussed, Brother Jeff Arthur.
Amen.
Told all about you. What a Lord we have.
Amen.
And how we ought to use our little feeble voices to glorify His great and good name. He's worthy of all praise and honor and glory.
Amen.
We're looking for Jesus Christ. That's the anticipation and the hope of my heart. I just know that He can solve all of our problems today.
Amen.
My church is so sparsely attended right now that virus came in and we shut it down, you might as well say. And it's sparsely attended. Picking up a little bit as we go along, but we're asking the Lord to save a lot of old hardened sinners around us. You don't have to look hard to find a sinner. They're everywhere. You got sinners living by you, probably. It needs, well, I'm not talking about a citizen of America. I believe in that too. I believe in being a good citizen. I believe in having the right principles and ideas in your life. I don't think you embrace falsehood. I think it's a terrible sin for a Christian to make politics their religion in life.
That's right.
What a sorry religion politics is. It is. You wouldn't want that for your life, and I'm sure you wouldn't. So what are we doing? We're packing up and getting ready to go.
Yeah, but
I'm like the old fellow said one time. He said, got sick, and his name was John, and his pastor went to see him. And he said, how are you today? Uncle John, how are you feeling today? He said, well, I'm just a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all.
Amen.
And I'm looking for Him to come. And he said, every other day, he went to see this sick man. And he told him one time, when the last time he came, he said, this will be your last visit to see me here. Because tomorrow,
Amen.
I'm going to be up with the
Amen.
Lord tomorrow.
Yes.
In that vision of heaven and his departure from here. I want to say to us today here, you know the one thing that I can do and you can do is to dedicate our hearts and lives to the Lord.
That's right.
Don't just pretend to worship. Don't just pretend to love the Lord, but really love Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Really serve Him with all your heart,
yeah.
soul, strength, and mind. Read the Bible. I don't know how you feel, but I think the Bible is the final authority.
Amen.
I don't think there's any lie in the Word of God. Do you?
No.
It's all true.
Yeah.
I don't understand it all, but it's the truth. The Bible is true. So we're looking. We're looking. That's my hope is the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May not do a thing for this world when he comes, but he'll sure do a lot for me.
Amen.
When he comes again.
Amen.
Yeah, he'll take away all the pain and the suffering. Brother Garth was telling me about his back pain. I have it 24/7. I never get rid of it. It stays with me all the time. I don't turn down an opportunity to serve the Lord, and I hope you don't. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, I don't preach the gospel to everybody. I said, well, I do. Everybody I can see and know, I tell them that Christ died for sinners. And that they need repentance, like Brother Bean was introducing for study here. People need to repent.
Amen.
Repent and turn back to God.
That's right.
Our big problems in America could be solved at once if we could repent.
Amen.
As a nation. You said, no, that's not true. It was for Nineveh. You want to know how wicked Nineveh was? Get Josephus and read him about Nineveh. I think he's pretty much a Jewish historian, and he knew what he was talking about. But I'll tell you one thing, folks. It pays to be ready. It pays to be ready to meet the Lord. Our churches need to be resounding with shouts of praise for the wonderful witness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the church has become silent as a tomb. You can hardly get a peep out of anybody.
Right?
There's hardly any response to the preaching of the word anymore. You preach with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And sometimes it works well. It always works well. But sometimes it doesn't have the results it should. I wanted to tell you a true story. I went to Calhoun County one time. How many, anybody here ever been to Calhoun County? Boogie, you been there?
I've been there, but I couldn't tell you where's that.
I went to Calhoun County. We went over there with a horse and a buggy. That's horse and buggy days. We went over to Calhoun County. They was having a service. I want to tell you about the church. It was a little box church, a little square church set to the side of the road. And when you opened the door to the front part of the church, if you went in the front part, everybody went in the back, but if you went in the front part, when you stepped off of the street, you stepped on the step and up into the church.
Yeah.
Church was built right on the line of the street, road. We went over and got there early. My mom kept telling my dad, she'd tell him, hurry up. If we don't get there right soon, we won't get a seat. Oh, he said, nobody goes to church. I'm not going to worry about it. But we went over there and we went in and got a seat. And that church house filled up. And the churchyard filled up. There were people all around the outside of the church. They had no electric lights, no electronic devices, no amplification of voice or anything else. So they went over and opened all the windows, and it was in the fall of the year. It was chilly-like, but opened all the windows, and people gathered around the windows and the doors. I'm just a little boy. I wasn't even old enough to know what was going on hardly, but I remember going with them over there. And the preacher got up and preached. And there were shouts of amen went up through all that house. I wondered why the shouts of amen. I didn't know, just a little kid. But he preached maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes. I don't know, not too long. And he said, well, let's get a song and we'll stand and sing. And the song, and people started trying to come to the front of the church. I never did see this but one time in my entire life. And there's so many people trying to crowd in that people from the outside was trying to get in, coming in the back door. And my mom said, look at there. They're pulling the coats off of each other to get into the service here. That was a long time ago.
Hey.
You know what? A revival meeting like that now would be a godsend to Lily Valley Baptist Church.
Yeah.
It would. We need to appreciate what our Savior's done.
Yeah,
I don't think you can put him in a cubbyhole somewhere.
Right.
No. He said what he meant what he said, didn't he?
Yeah.
Think of this here. Therefore, this is my Savior speaking. If you want a prophetic preacher, look to Jesus. He's the greatest prophetic preacher that ever lived.
Amen.
Or ever will live on this earth. He spent the 24th chapter of Matthew telling me about his coming again. That's why I believe in it. And he gave an order to us, be ye therefore also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Right.
I know one place in the Bible it says that when we shall see peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them.
Yeah.
In a moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When Jesus comes. I think it's a great event.
Yeah.
Our Savior put emphasis on his second coming.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm.
You read the Bible and you find more said in the New Testament about his second coming than his first coming to the earth.
Yeah,
you can find it. It's true. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And he's coming back to claim his people.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've had a lot of great things happen to me in my life, and I know you have too. Been a lot of great, pleasant, wonderful things. Been some awful bad things in my life as well. I can tell you, when I lost my wife, it almost killed me. I still haven't recovered really from it. It's tough. If she'd have lived another 2 months, we'd have been married 50 years.
Yeah.
And even yet to this day, especially of an evening, I just sense her presence sometimes in the house.
Hey.
You call me crazy if you want to, but that's the truth. I sense her presence there. So I'm looking forward to his coming.
Amen.
Brother Bean, that's going to solve all of your problems and mine too when he comes again.
Amen.
I believe he's going to come. The Bible said, the Lord, let me quote this to you. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven out, and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians,
yes,
to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Yes, amen.
And we'll be caught up into his presence.
Amen.
There to be with him, that by the scripture says, forever. I'm going to tell you, it pays us to have good stewardship of that which has been committed to our trust.
Amen.
You know what? If God's given you something, a gift in life, don't sit there and fondle around with that gift.
Amen.
But use it. Put it to work for his name's sake. Amen?
Amen.
You got to tell the story. It's got to be broadcast. People got to hear that Jesus is coming again, and he is. But he's given us something to do while we're here, and that's to be good stewards of that which he's committed to our trust. Let me read it to you. In Luke chapter 19 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, and he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come.
Hey.
Occupy, use it,
yes.
Live in it, be a part of you, do your work for the Lord. He said, you occupy these till I come, because he is coming again. He's coming back. I really believe, and you can say whatever you want to, say, oh, the preacher's going off, he's gone way off the rocker. Well, let me ask you something. There's the creation. Let's go back and think about it just for a little bit. You know, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Now, everybody believes that here, don't you? We all believe that he created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness is upon the face of the deep.
Yes, sir.
And my Savior said, let there be light.
Amen.
And it wasn't a 24-hour thing that the light came. When he said, let there be light, there was light.
Amen.
He created it, you know. And he gave us something to do while we're here.
Amen.
We can get all tied up in all kinds of things in life, and most of them don't amount to much of their own making. They amount to a lot. If he's in it and we're pleasing him. And he tells me that in my operation here on earth, I want you to know, and I'm not boasting about this or bragging about it, but I've been in this fellowship for about 56 years. And Brother Earl Hannah's here. He's a witness to this. I was moderator of the Fifth Sunday meeting for years and years and years. I'm a right, Earl. He was the secretary and treasurer. And we worked the fellowship here for years and years and years. The only thing that was required of us was to be faithful.
Amen.
We tried to be faithful.
Amen.
And do the work. And it's not easy. It's pretty easy to say, well, this isn't important, but anything for the Lord that you do is important,
that's
folks.
Right.
Everything you do for him. Well, I don't know. I think it says this in the Word of God. See if this sounds familiar to you. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a service to give it with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. I had a preacher one time, fellow said he was called to preach, and he got licensed by the church. The church gave him authority to go out and preach. And he come and told me, he said, are you going to help me find the church pastor? And I said, well, if I hear of a church, I'll let you know. I know about a church, I'll hear you tell you. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, I want a church that can support me full time. And a church that can take care of all of the needs I have, whatever they may be. And I said, well, young man, you're counting on a broken stick. You got to crawl before you walk.
Amen.
And you got down, got to get down in this foxhole. Learn how to fight. Yeah. I was in the military. I know what it is to take a shovel and dig a foxhole. And you can dig a foxhole and so on. But you don't want to come behind in no gift. Whatever your gift is. Some deacons told me one time, said, preacher, give us something to do. I said, go read 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 about the qualifications of a deacon. And they said, yeah, but you're not giving us anything to do. I said, well, if I outlines what you're to do there, go read it and take it to heart. You know, they did, and they've done wonderful work there. I got to tell you, we're looking for the Lord He's coming again. I'm glad he's coming again. Clarence will have all of his problems solved one of these days.
Amen.
Clarence won't have to go to Florida to hunt fish anymore. And Clarence won't have to go to the dentist to eat Grand Slam breakfast either. I know about them too. I want you to listen. This is a good admonition for Christian people in regard to the second coming of Christ. I believe he's coming. How do you think the Lord's coming? I think he's coming secretly. Well, let me see. I'll quote it from the Bible. Behold, I come as a thief. I come as a thief. And when did he say a thief comes? In the night when it's dark.
Yeah.
When you're least expecting him. Behold, I come as a thief. Watch, for he's coming again. I believe he's coming in secret. I believe the Lord's going to transform our own mortal bodies. Boy, I'll be glad for that. Garth and me both will be glad for that, to get these bodies transformed. I'm like Dr. Walker used to say, brethren, I think we'll all be about 30 years old in heaven. Perfect health.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. I don't know if that's true or not, but listen, therefore judge nothing before the time. So you don't judge before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness.
Amen.
So if there's any light in the world, where does it come from? It comes from the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
I heard a man say that yesterday on television. He's talking about the trouble over in Afghanistan. I feel sorry for those people that are left behind over there. You should be praying for those people.
Yes, sir.
We should. We should all pray for them. But Afghanistan is another story. But listen, Jesus is coming. And when he comes, he's going to do what? He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. So you know, I believe in the judgment seat.
Amen.
You may not believe in the judgment seat, but I believe it's a place where all Christians go. Mm-hmm. Not to be judged for their sins, but to be judged for our deeds. How faithful have you been in the service of the Lord? That's why it's important to be faithful. It is required of every man that a man be found faithful in the service of the Lord. And he said he's going to make manifest the counsels of the heart. I know there's going to be some tears in heaven. You believe there'll be tears in heaven?
Amen.
The Bible says God himself, it will do what?
Wipe
away the tears from our eyes.
Amen.
That'll be an experience.
Amen.
Garth, that'll be an experience. That's something I can't envision, but he's going to wipe away the tears. And I'm going to say at the judgment seat there'll be a lot of tears. I'll probably be the worst one of the bunch, crying there. And then shall every man have praise of God. I'd like to be, wouldn't you like to be one of the, you know, the servants that he gave three gifts to, one he gave £5. 25th chapter of Matthew. Another one he gave £2, talking about British money. And to another £1. And he gave it to them and said, occupy these till I come. And when he came back, the man who got the £5 come up and said, Lord, here's your £5, and here's five more. And what was the response of the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord.
Right.
He did the same thing for the one that had the two talents. But the old boy that went up and said, here, Lord, your talent. There's all kind of Baptist church members that fall into this category. Be talented, talents galore. You don't have anything except what the Lord gives you, folks.
Right.
They have all kinds of talents.
Yeah.
This guy had a talent and he went out and got him a good clean napkin and wrapped it up and dug a hole in the ground and hid it away, and he said, here, Lord, your talent. And God wasn't a bit pleased with that,
yeah,
was he?
Sure.
Well, you say whatever you want to. That's the kingdom chapter, the 25th chapter of Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and read it for yourself. It is a kingdom chapter. And he said, you wicked and slothful servant, slothful. You should have took my money and put it to the money changers.
Yes,
you should have been faithful in it. So I tell the young preachers, if God calls you to preach, go preach.
Amen. That's right.
You know, they say, well, I want a place to preach. Well, go find a place to preach.
Yeah,
don't hold it back. I told Jay one time, a long time ago, when I was just a young man. Boy, that's a long time ago. When I was just a young man. I said, I wanted to preach so bad that I go out in the woods and preach to the trees.
Yeah.
Old Jeff Arthur down here is the same way. He's got to preach, right?
Yes, sir.
God puts it in you. It's got to come out. I say to them, go preach. Use your talents. God only blesses you for what you use.
Amen.
Whoever thought they could sit back on the stool and do nothing.
That's right.
And relax all the time in their life, get out and go to work.
Yeah.
And bear the temptations and the persecutions that comes because of it. God's great. And he knows how to help us, so we need to really get out there and get with him. I want you to notice also this text that I'm going to quit because I'm really getting tired. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. How? Not partially, but wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless.
Amen.
Under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, folks, all of the New Testament is filled with promises of the Lord's coming.
Amen.
It's not as though a new thing was invented by reading the Bible. When I first started in the ministry, I was in deep converse with Dr. Clarence Walker of Ashland Avenue Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. We corresponded, talked to him once in a while on the phone, but in those days you had to pay porters to call him.
Yeah.
And I talked, but we wrote to each other, and he said, well, one thing that a Baptist preacher needs to do is to be acquainted with the Bible. And he said, I would advise you to take the Bible and read it.
Yeah.
I've been trying to read the Bible for about 68 years. I read it a lot. One time, I'm not boasting now, but one time, I told my mom, I said, in the morning, when I get up, I don't want to go to breakfast. I don't want to do anything. Can you give me a day off? Because I was milking three cows and feeding the horses and everything else in wintertime.
Amen.
And I said, I want the day. And she said, what are you going to do? I said, I want to sit in that chair right there with the Bible all day. And she said, okay. So I got a day off. And I started in Matthew 1:1. And about 7 o'clock that evening, I finished with Revelation 22:21.
Right.
I read the entire New Testament through. I was feeling awful good about it until we met Dr. Toga. He said, I bought the Amplified Testament. I said, really? Have you read it? And he said, yeah, I read it last night in the motel room. I said, how much? He said, the whole book. Read it all. I was feeling big about myself, but look at that, would you? Well, I got to tell you that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm closing with saying this to you. My hope is the appearing of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know. The Lord himself. Not a spirit now.
Right.
Or not an emissary. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
Yes.
With a shout.
Yes.
I've never heard the audible voice of Christ. Maybe you have. Maybe you're one of them people that hears the Lord. Preacher told me one time, he said, I knew I had to go preach because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came in the room where I was. And I said, God the Father came in. He said, yeah, he did. He said, the Spirit was carrying a plaque. And they went up there and fastened it on the wall. And he said, I understood that meant for me to be a Christian. He said, what do you think of that? And I said, not much. Think much of it. I'm just a boy, little fella. Bible says no man has seen God.
Amen.
At any time.
Right.
And so you haven't seen him, but we see the Son. He's my Savior.
Amen.
He's my King. He's the Lord of my life.
Amen.
I love him with all my heart.
Oh, amen.
And dedicated myself to him.
Yes, sir.
And if I should leave here today and you don't ever hear this old gravelly voice again, it would be fine with me, because I'm ready to meet the Lord.
Amen.
At any moment. Brother Bean, will you finish out whatever I didn't do right?